James chapter 4, and we're going to be reading verses 11 and 12. He says, "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another?" That's the text. Now, today I'm going to do something slightly different than usual. Today, it's kind of going to be like two mini sermons rather than one normal-sized sermon. Or you could just see it as one sermon in two parts. The second part is going to be what we always do, just go through the text and see what we can learn. The first part, or the first mini sermon, I want to talk about what this passage is not saying. What this passage is not teaching. Why do I want to do that? Well, the reason is that in both these verses, verse 11 and 12, there's the statement that we should not judge. Okay? Both 11 and 12, it says, don't judge. Who are you to judge? Now, there are a few times in the Bible where there's the statement, don't judge. A few times, not many. But that statement, that commandment, don't judge, is one of the most misunderstood, misapplied, misused verses in the Bible. So what I want to do is I want to talk about this for a few minutes. Let me take you to another place in the Bible where it makes this statement, do not judge. The most famous one of all, Matthew chapter 7. The mother of all the verses that say, don't judge. Matthew 7 and verse 1. And says, judge not that you be not judged. Well, there you go. This is Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. It has been said, I didn't come up with this, it has been said that this verse is the devil's favorite verse. In case you were wondering, the devil knows the Bible very well. In case you were wondering, the devil loves quoting the Bible. He knows the Bible way, he knows the words of the Bible way better than we do because he's been around way longer than us. He quotes the Bible all the time, of course, misapplies it, but makes you think that it's from God instead. Do you remember when Jesus was tempted for 40 days or tested for 40 days in the wilderness and Satan comes in, he says, Jesus, you're looking really hungry, why don't you take this stone and turn it into bread? And Jesus said, it is written, Jesus said, the scripture says that man shall not live on bread alone, but from every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And so Satan says, oh, you like quoting scripture? I can do that too. So he takes him up to the pinnacle of the temple and he says, and the devil says, it is written, scripture says, that if you jump off of this building, God is going to send angels to come save you. And he quotes from the Old Testament, word for word. Of course, that's not what the text meant. But those were the words from the Bible. And Jesus says, no, that's not what it means. And so, yes, it has been said that this verse is the devil's favorite verse. Why? Because I can lie, cheat, steal, do whatever I want, and then if anyone says, you shouldn't do that, I can say, don't judge. Don't judge me. Jesus said that. Jesus said, don't judge. So I can do whatever I want, and you can't tell me that I'm wrong, because you're judging me. And Jesus said not to judge. I have a friend, an acquaintance, who has a tattoo on his back that says, judge not. Now, that's not because he loves the scriptures. That's because he wants to do whatever he wants to do, and you're not allowed to say anything about what he does. You're not allowed to judge. And just keep in mind that if you say to someone, well, you're wrong for doing whatever it is that you're doing, and they say, well, don't judge, keep in mind that they just judged you. Right? Because they judged that what you were doing was wrong. So I'm not trying to be a smart aleck here. That's just fact of the matter. You're saying, that's wrong, and they say, no, you're wrong for judging. But that's judging itself. This passage in Matthew, just as any other passage in Scripture that says don't judge, needs to be seen, of course, in its context. And there is no text in the Bible, none whatsoever, that says that we are never to judge anything. Never make moral judgments. That's crazy. You can't live without making moral judgments all the time. Every single one of us in this room judges other people all the time. All the time. Let me give you an example. If you say, no, 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 Nico, I never judge. Okay. What if we had a guy who was a child molester? Would you let him babysit your kids? No, I wouldn't do that. Why not? You judged him. You judge that he should not be doing that, that he's wrong, that he's bad, that he should not be doing what he's doing. Well, Nico, you're going to extremes. Okay, let me get it even simpler than that without going to extremes. Do you become friends with every person that you meet? No, you don't. Why? Because you judge them. You judge, this person meets my standards of likability or whatever, and so he becomes my friend. This person, I judge them and I don't like him, therefore he doesn't become my friend. We judge people all the time. So I just want to show you from this text here, and then of course we'll go through the text in James. But I just want to show you something here in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus has just said in verse 1, judge not that you be not judged, right? Now look at jump down to verse 6. Look what it says. Verse 6 says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Now wait a minute, Jesus. You just told me not to judge, but now I'm expected to consider certain people to be dogs and pigs, and to judge whether I should give them what is holy or not. That's some serious judging to be able to consider a person a pig or a dog. And you just told me not to judge anyone. But keep in mind, when he says judge not, he is not saying never make any moral judgments about anyone. That's not what he is saying. The point is very simple. If you just look at context in the Bible, go back to verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look, listen to this, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. What's the point? He's not saying never judge anyone. He's talking to people who go around judging others, pointing out other people's sins when they themselves are even worse. They're doing the same thing. Look, if you're just the worst liar in the world, don't go around and pointing out others who said a lie, who spoke a lie. Okay? He's saying you're a hypocrite. Judge yourself first. Look at yourself first before you go and tell anyone else about their sin. And again, just let me point out, he's not saying, therefore, never judge, because at the end he does say, make sure you get that plank out of your eye, and then you can tell your brother about the speck that's in his eye. Okay? So he's not saying, never judge. Every passage in the Bible that says, don't judge, is never a blanket statement that covers all judging. It's always forbidding either a certain kind of judging or judging with a wrong attitude, which is what we will see in James chapter 4. Not only does the Bible tell us not to ever judge, but in fact, it tells us to judge. John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus says, judge with righteous judgment. Not by appearances, but judge with righteous judgment. Okay? Now we need to be careful how we judge. He's not saying just go be the most judgmental person in the world. But we need to judge correctly with righteous judgment. You're not to judge based upon your own preferences and your own likes and your own opinions. You're supposed to judge based upon the Word of God. And let me just say this, because this is a huge issue to deal with in 10 minutes. This doesn't mean that we have to be rude or arrogant. We need to be tactful. We need to be wise. We need to do things correctly. We don't just go out and start pointing out everyone's sin. But there is a proper, correct way of judging other people. In Matthew 18, there's a very famous passage, you all know it, where Jesus is talking about how judgment should go on within a church. And he says, if your brother has sinned against you, you go to him on your own, and you say, okay, this is a problem, and if he does not repent, what do? You go and you call a couple of other people also. So you all judge them together. Two or three people. Then you go and you say, this isn't right, and if he doesn't repent, what do? You take him to the church. You tell the entire church. And the entire church judges on whether he, and if he does not repent, what do? Treat him as an unbeliever. In 1 Corinthians 5, I'm just going to give you a couple of examples here just to see what the scripture says. 1 Corinthians 5 has this passage where Paul writes, he's heard that in the Corinthian church, there's some guy that is in some serious sexual immorality where he's like sleeping with his father's wife. Well, the Corinthian church wasn't doing anything about it. The Corinthian church were like, who are we to judge? And Paul was like, well, I may not be there physically, but I'm there in spirit, and I've already judged this person. Kick him out. And you're like, whoa, I thought we weren't supposed to judge. Paul, let me read you one last passage. 2 Thessalonians 3, Paul says, if anyone, speaking of people in the church who call themselves Christians, if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person. Mock that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. If there's someone who calls himself a Christian, he's in the church, and he's not, and he's openly and blatantly not following what the scripture says, treat him like an unbeliever. Don't hang out with him. You're like, that's some serious judging going on there by Paul. Yes, we all judge. We all need to judge. We all judge all the time, but it needs to be done correctly, in the right manner, with righteous judgment based upon the law of God. Okay? I needed to get that out of the way. That was the first mini-sermon. I needed to get that out of the way because so many people just hear the don't judge and automatically assume that you can never say anything, never point out sin, never tell anyone to repent, never do any of that because, well, it says don't judge. Let's go to the text in James. Now let's go through that and see what James is talking about. James 4, verse 11, he starts off and he says, first of all, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. Do not speak evil of one another. Don't speak falsely about one another. Don't slander one another. Don't defame one another. Don't attack people's reputation. Don't try and get people to sound worse than they are. And again, he's not saying never address sin, never tell anyone to repent. He's not saying that. But we can't, within the church, be degrading our brothers and sisters and gossiping about our brothers and sisters and slandering about our brothers and sisters and making them sound worse than they are. And you say, why not? What's the big deal? It's just words. Let me tell you an interesting story. In the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 10, there's this fascinating story about David and the king of, I don't know how you pronounce this, Ammon, the Ammonites. Okay? Now the king of the Ammonites was a friend of David. And the king died. And his son became king. And so David, out of love for the man who died, sent ambassadors to go over and give condolences to the son out of a pure heart because he loved the man. Now when the ambassadors go over, the counselors of this new king say to him, you think David cares about you or your father? Now, he did care about him and his father. But, you know, what they're saying is not true. They're speaking evil of him. They're saying things that are not true about David. But they say, you think David cares about you or your father? These men didn't come to give their condolences to you or comfort you. The reason they came here was to spy out the city, and David is going to try and conquer this place. And the king is like, oh, wow. Well, let's give him a lesson then. And he grabs these men that were there and shaves off half their beard, which may not seem like a big deal to us, but I guess back then it was a sign of their dignity or manliness or whatever. Shaves off half their beard, cuts off half their clothes, so they're like naked from the one side, and sends them away. David is shocked. Where did that come from? And so David is kind of upset. And so the Ammonites now are like, ah, you see, we knew David didn't like us, and he's going to want to fight against us. So let's get an army and be ready to fight him. And they get an army, and they're ready to fight David. And David is like, oh, you want to fight? Oh, I'll fight. So he gets an army out, and the army of Israel goes and destroys them, and it says 34,000 people get killed. Now, at the end of the story, you're left there scratching your head saying, wait a minute. We just had a battle where 34,000 people got killed. Why? What was the point of this whole story? Where did this come from? There was nothing wrong. And 34,000 people got killed, people who had wives and children and families. Why? Because a bunch of idiots thought that they could speak evil of David and say things about David that were not true. Ah, it's just words, who cares? But there's a reason why in chapter 3 and in chapter 1, James has been saying, careful how you use your tongue. It's like a spark that can burn down an entire forest. Be careful how you speak. It's amazing. So he's saying, don't speak evil of one another. Maybe the world does these things, but we can't be like this in the church with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So he starts off, he says, don't speak evil of one another. Then the next sentence he says, he who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now he started off by saying, don't speak evil of one another. Now he's taking it a step further. He says, don't speak evil of one another and don't judge your brother. Again, like we've already talked about, this is not saying never mention sin. You can just lie, cheat, and steal and don't say anything about it. That's not his point. Let's try and get into the context here so we can see the flow of thought and what James has been talking about. Remember, back in chapter 3, he was talking about the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. And how with the wisdom of God, what happens is you have peace among people, and because you put others first and you care for others and you help others. While with the wisdom of the world, what happens? You put yourself first. I'm number one. I'm most important. I'm better than everyone else. So everyone else needs to serve me. Well, this was the attitude that existed in this Christian community by a number of people. And this terrible attitude of, well, I'm the most important one in the world, James kept on talking about this into chapter 4, if you remember. And he ended, look at the last two verses that we read last time. Look at verse 9. He says, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Here's the key. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You had people who were proud, who were arrogant, who they thought they were better than everyone else because they had the wisdom of the world. Kind of like the Pharisees. What did the Pharisees do? They thought they were so much holier than everyone else. And because they thought they were so much better and holier than everyone else, they thought they could go around pointing the finger at everyone else and telling them how they're supposed to live their lives and judging them. And that's the attitude that James is dealing with here. And he says, stop speaking evil of your brethren and stop judging your brethren. Stop walking around thinking that you're the holiest person in the world, you're the best person in the world, and you're spending your life pointing your finger at people. Look, do you know how easy it is to, if you're looking for faults, if you're looking to find the fault in people, you know how easy it is to do? It's very easy, because we're all sinners. And so if I wanted to find all the bad stuff about you, I could find bad stuff about you. If you wanted to find all the bad stuff about me, you could find bad stuff about me. But that's not the attitude. He's like, we're a family for crying out loud. Did you notice, look at this. Did you notice three times in verse 11? Three times in verse 11 he uses the word brothers or brethren. Do not speak evil of one another. Brethren. He speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother. He's like, we're supposed to be a family. We're supposed to be, we're adopted by God the Father through Christ. And here we are trying, speaking evil of one another and think we're so much better than one another and pointing out everyone else's sin. This is not how it should be. This is not how it should be. And he gives a fascinating reason why we should not speak evil and judge one another self-righteously. Look at this. He says, if you speak evil or judge your brother, you're speaking evil of the law and judging the law. That's strange. What does that mean? How does that work? The law. Did you know that the law is all about love? You're like, what? Jesus said that. Jesus said that the summary of the law is to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the summary of all the law of God. Right there. To love God and to love your neighbor. If you take the Ten Commandments, what's it about? The first four are about loving God. The next six are about loving your neighbor. You know, if you love God, you know, what's the first commandment say? You shall have no other gods before me. Well, if you love God, why would you go after other gods? Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Why? Because if you love God, why would you blaspheme him? If you love your neighbor, why would you murder him? If you love your neighbor, why would you commit adultery? You know, it's all about love. Jesus said this. Paul said this. The person who loves his neighbor, the person who loves God, has fulfilled the law. That's what the law is about. And James himself had said this. I know it's taking a long time for us to get through James, but if you just sat and read through it in a couple of minutes, you may remember in James chapter 2, Paul, he spoke of the commandment, love thy neighbor as yourself, and he called it the royal law, the law of the kingdom. And so James has this in mind, that the law is about loving your neighbor. And so when you are speaking evil of your brother or judging your brother in a self-righteous way, he says you're speaking evil of the law. Why? Well, the law told me to love my neighbor. The law told me to love him and care for him and help him. Rather, I'm speaking evil of him and I'm judging him. Therefore, I'm basically saying I'm not going to follow the law and I'm going to do what I want. I judge that the law is unworthy to be followed on this instance because I want to speak evil of that person. And so when you speak evil or judge your brother, you're speaking evil of the law and judging the law. That's his point. So he says, but if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? He says, you think you're so high and mighty and so much better than everyone else? Let me tell you something. It's not your job to go around judging everyone. There's someone else who does that. He says there's one lawgiver, one judge. That's God, not you. There's one who is able to save and to destroy. That's not you. God is the one who can save those through Christ who have broken the law. God is the one who can destroy those who have broken the law and have not repented. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, but be afraid of him who, after killing the body, can throw the soul into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. There's one who's in charge. There's one who's who's above and controls everyone else. It's not you. That's God. And he says, who do you think you are? That's what he says. Who are you to judge another? Who are you to be the judge of your brother? Remember, this is the reason. In verse 10, he had said, humble yourselves before the Lord. Because people think they're so great and so much better than everyone else. There's a reason why in chapter 3 he said, if you're going to be wise, you're going to be humble and meek. There's a reason why in chapter 1 he had said, you need to learn to bridle your tongue. This is all tied in together to people who think they're so much better than everyone else and they can go around pointing out everyone else's problems. Stop speaking evil of other people, because you don't know what trouble you may cause within the church. Let me close with a short story. Who here knows who David Livingstone was? Oh, everyone's putting up their hands. David Livingstone was a missionary / explorer in the 19th century down in the southern part of Africa. Dr. Livingstone, yes. Well, Dr. Livingstone, he was married. And he would often take his wife with him on these journeys through jungles and deserts. Now, it wasn't the easiest thing in the world at that time to travel those kind of distances, those places. You didn't have the means to travel as we do today, and we didn't have the medicine that we have today, and so it was very easy to get sick. And it was kind of tiring for his wife to follow on after him through all these things. So at some point he was going to go on one of his journeys, and they decided it's best if the wife just doesn't come this time. Well, he went off by himself, and wouldn't you know, rumors started spreading. And people were like, you know why he went without her? That's because their marriage is not going that well. He can't really stand to be around her all the time. And so he likes leaving on his own so they don't have to be together. Now, it wasn't true. He loved his wife and she loved him. But he heard those rumors and she heard those rumors, and they wrote to one another, and she said, I don't like that people are saying these things about us, so I think I need to come. And he was like, okay, yeah, I guess we need to show people that this is not, it's not true, that our marriage is fine. And so she went out into the jungles and found him, and after a few days she got sick and died in his arms. Why did David Livingstone's wife have to die in a jungle somewhere? Well, because a bunch of idiots felt like speaking evil of them and their marriage. There's no other reason. That's it. They just felt like gossiping about them. And this is how the world is. I get that. But James is not speaking to the world. He's speaking to Christians. We've talked about this for months. He's writing to a group of Christians. And he says, don't be like the world. We need to be different. Let the world do what they do, but we can't be like this in the church. We can't be attacking one another in the church, speaking evil of one another, thinking that we're way better than everyone else. Let us use our tongues not to tear other people down, but to build each other up and edify one another, rather than slander and condemn one another. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray.